Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. Your calls today on Real Ghost Stories Online. So lots of those to get through. Looking forward to that. If you want to write in, you can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. There you goat. welcome on whatever platform it is you may be listening to us. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Podbean, I've lost track.
All of them.
There's a lot of them now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember like when it used to be just like two or three. YouTube, that's another. I mean, obviously, YouTube is one of the originals. But there's so many places that people listen to our show on it. And whatever platform it is you listen to us on, if you wouldn't mind, if you got a free minute or something, a little positive review on your platform of choice helps us grow the show and helps other folks find it. So that's... That's always a good thing. Did I just turn your headphone volume down?
Is it better?
Is it good?
It's fine now.
Okay.
But you did.
I'm messing with all the volume knobs over here as I talk to get everything all synced back up here. New show coming out on Fox. This is not an endorsement, but I just saw a really creepy poster for it. Exorcist.
Oh, yay.
It's coming this fall. September 23rd. It's a real creepy photo because it looks like it's like a girl that's kind of sitting up in an attic, and she's just sitting, you know, like forward with her legs up, just kind of like she's like just watching TV or something. But the funny part is her head is facing backwards.
Ew.
So it's like a profile view.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and it takes you a second to realize, like, wait a second, there's something not right with that photo. Oh, there you go. So... I think I just thought it was a cool photo. It says there is a fate worse than death, which I think is true.
Yeah.
Judging by some of the stories, I'm kind of looking forward to that. It could be a total, you know, flop, or it could be good. Who knows? But some of the more paranormal shows in the last couple of years have been pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that we don't watch seem to be fairly well loved.
Uh-huh.
So I could check that one out and hopefully. Get into it. We'll go to our first call today, and our first call on today's episode is coming into us from Teresa in New York. Hi, Teresa. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi. I actually have a story that is not about me. It's about my sister. My name is Teresa, and I'm calling from Brooklyn. So when my sister was a teenager, she had this nightmare about a court jester with a skeleton face, and it was kind of a horrible nightmare, so it kind of freaked her out. The next day she's in school, and some kid sitting next to her at her desk decides to start doodling on her notebook, and she turns over and looks at it, and it's the exact face of the court jester with this skull skeleton face. So she was a bit upset and asked the kid why he would choose to draw that. He just had the idea in his head. So she kind of forgot about it. A couple of days later, she's at my older sister's house, and they're just sitting there watching TV talking, and she starts screaming. My other sis looks over and is like, what's the issue? What's wrong? She points to the wall, and in those days, it was the early 80s, we had wood paneling. They had wood paneling in the house, and in the wood paneling was what looked like a face of a skull with a court jester hat on it. My other sister starts laughing because she didn't know what it was. The sister who originally had the nightmare was freaking out. Turned out it looked like someone had drew it in wax or something. And we never really found out who did. I mean, my sister who lived in that house at the time was there for a few years, never noticed it before, ever. So she was really shaken up. We never found out what the deal was. There was never any connection, but I just thought it was a really strange story, and it's kind of been passed through our family, and it's not really necessarily paranormal, but it's a little freaky. Just wondering if you guys had any thoughts on something like this, or if you've ever heard of anything like this. Thank you.
Jenny Brewski, have you ever heard of anything like that?
Not with people that aren't extremely close, you know, like twins or like a mother-daughter or sisters or some kind of family relation where you have two people that are kind of experiencing the same entity, even though the one drawing it's really not experiencing. Something made him draw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more than just a coincidence that there was a dream and saw that, and then from one person, and then the classmates drawing it.
Yeah, where it's yeah. It is, it's odd. I'm trying to rack my brain of things other than when there is that, like, connection.
Mm-hmm.
We've had stories of, like, connections. It's hard. Not quite along this line.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, like, say one way or the other, because there really hasn't been quite like this.
Now, the only other thing, I know sometimes there's been even TV shows where talking about how your brain works, where you can see something, just not even realize you saw it, and mm-hmm. later it'll come to mind, but you don't have any recollection of having seen it. And it could be something where they both have seen that.
Sure.
And the one kid's like, oh, I'm going to draw that. And the other one doesn't even remember seeing it, but then dreams about it later.
There could be something there to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take the rational explanation.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is the rational explanation is not always the real explanation.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Got to throw it out, though.
So thank you for sharing that story with us and for the question. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. There's a lot of interesting spooky stuff out there as it's hitting the stores as we get closer to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking yesterday, because we have a new projector up in our basement with a screen that we finally put back up.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about it, although I don't know how many trick-or-treaters we're going to have in our area, but I saw some video for some of the stuff that they have. It's something where you put it into a projector and it like shoots the ghostly apparition up on the window.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen these?
Yeah.
Yes. And I was thinking, because the way that we have this in our basement, and it's a fairly open space basement, you know, if you had it in the dark and it was just shooting something way off there in the distance, that would look very spooky.
Yeah.
And probably scare the living hell out of our children.
And that's
they're not old enough for that yet.
No. No, they're not. Nor do I think
when they're 18, though.
Okay.
I'm going to start doing shit like that.
I don't think our welcome to the neighborhood, this is our first Halloween here, should be anything over the top either.
That's true. They probably wouldn't appreciate that. What if everyone decorates around here for
Let's wait
for the Halloween
and kind of watch.
You
and then
you know, be the trendsetter on that?
No.
Putting up a graveyard up in the
I'm betting around here it's more so like the fall harvest kind of look for mm-hmm. Halloween stuff versus the, you know, really scary, creepy things. The zombie kids crawling across the porch and stuff like that.
Pumpkin pentagrams, that's probably not...
That's a bit much.
Like, look, there's a big pumpkin patch in there. What's that shape? Oh, God.
Yeah.
They look in the window and there's the apparition floating there. Yeah.
give some of our neighbors heart attacks.
Make an impact. That's mm-hmm. what I'd say. Let's go over to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name's Eliana. I'm from California. Love your podcast. I wanted to call in regards to a house that I grew up in. We moved there when I was 6 years old with my three older siblings, so I'm the youngest, and my two parents. Just as some background, nobody lived in the house before us. We had it built for us, but we were at the bottom of a mountain, so there was like a mountain behind our house, and you know, after a bunch of stuff had happened at the house, I did some research, and who knows if this is true because I found it on Google, but apparently there was a Native American tribe located where we moved, you know, way back when, and that tribe would bury their dead at the bottom of mountains. So I'm wondering if maybe that's why my house had some weird things happen to it. As a kid, we even would go up in the mountains and go hiking, and there were caves back there with the Native American rock art. So definitely had Native Americans living there at some point. Anyway, throughout my time at the house, there were always weird things that happened. Like when we'd be eating dinner, we'd hear people talking upstairs when everybody was at the dinner table. Or there was another time when we'd be sitting at the dinner table and my parents' room was right above it, above the kitchen. And we would hear something just jump off their bed and like stomp on the floor. And my mom and I would be like, oh my gosh, what was that? And my dad would say, oh, it's probably just the dog. And then we'd look and the dog would be right there. So weird things always happen, but it got a lot worse once my sister moved out and went to college and I was the last kid left. So my sister was 6 years older than me. So this was the summer before I was in eighth grade. I was like 12 or 13. And as soon as she moved out, every single night, from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m., I would hear something stomping up and down the stairs. It almost sounded like it had a suitcase full of bricks, like it was that loud. And it would go slow at first, and then when it got to the top of it, it would get faster. And then it almost sounded like wind would hit my door, like I would hear creaking and like something was pushing on it. And that would happen over and over again. Sometimes it was every 5 minutes. Sometimes it was every 30 minutes. It was just kind of random, but it was every single night, and it really scared me. At first, I would go into my parents' room and knock on the door and wake them up. And for some odd reason, they didn't hear it. Only me, other people as well, which I'll explain later, heard it too. But my parents never heard it. So I remember the first few times I'd knock on their door and wake them up and be like, hey, did you guys hear that? Or did any of you go downstairs? And they'd say, no, we were sleeping. And we'd have all the alarms on, all the windows were closed, so nobody could have come into our house without us knowing. And my dad would check around the house, I'd check around the house, we'd never find anything. So, you know, it was happening every night. It got to the point where I just stopped waking them up because I knew it was going to be the same thing. But when it would happen, a lot of times I'd go out into the hallway and look down the stairs, and it was just like pitch black, and I could feel something looking back at me. I knew something was looking back at me. It was really scary. So I wanted to have friends spend the night to see if they heard it too, and they did. My best friend would spend the night, and I'd keep her up, and we'd hear it together and just look at each other like, oh my gosh, what do we do? There was one time when we were in the bathroom and we were doing our makeup. You know, we were teenage girls. And we heard it, and we were so scared that we wouldn't even go out of the bathroom. We ended up sleeping in there. So it was that loud. There was another time when my sister came back to visit, and I had her stay in my room, and I was like, you have to stay up till 1 and tell me if you hear this, because I've been hearing this every night. Mom and Dad don't believe me because they can't hear it. You have to stay up and listen. And of course she heard it, and to this day she doesn't like talking about it because it sounded so creepy. And it progressively got worse. There was one time when I heard this thing running up and down the stairs, or up the stairs, and then I heard a bunch of crashing in our kitchen downstairs, and I woke my dad up because it was really loud and scary, and we went downstairs, and there were two pots on the floor in the kitchen, and we checked the whole house. All the doors were locked, all the windows were closed, nothing. So it was very bizarre. And then after that, the lock on my bedroom door stopped working. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it mysteriously stopped working, and that scared me because I wanted to keep my door locked at night when I heard that sound. So I made my parents check and see if maybe there were rodents in the house. We had somebody come and look at the house. They couldn't find anything. So, you know, I really couldn't figure out what this was. And I wanted to try and take any kind of rational approach I could to see if maybe there's something, you know, in the floors, but there was nothing. So, you know, as a teenager, this really scared me, and it got to the point where obviously I couldn't sleep at night because this was happening every single night. And I would sit there and plug my ears for hours because I was so scared. So it got to the point where I wasn't sleeping, and then this is where it gets really weird. My parents are Jewish, and sometimes my mom would volunteer at the synagogue. So it was a Wednesday, and she was going to bring something into the office. And we got there, and I don't know why, but I was like, Mom, I'm going to go into the sanctuary and pray, which my mom thought was really weird because I've never been one to be really religious. Like, I don't even know if I believe in a God or not. You know, it wasn't something that was typical of me. I'm very skeptical about this kind of stuff. But I went in, and I went into the sanctuary, and I was all by myself in this big sanctuary. Nobody was there. And I just started crying, and I remember just being like, this is happening to me, and if anything can hear me right now, please make it stop. Please make it stop. Like, I'm just a kid. I'm not sleeping. I can't do this, and I'm really scared. Please help me. Please. Like, if anything can hear me, please. Please help me. And I kid you not, it stopped that night, and I never heard it again. I never heard it again after that. And I thought that was so weird. Like, that still just really trips me out. Because, you know, I thought about it, and it's like, okay, either that thing was there in the sanctuary with me, and it heard me, and it decided to stop because maybe it felt bad. That's one thing I thought. Or something bigger hurt me that could make it stop. And if so, what the heck was that? So, yeah, to this day, I mean, I still think about that all the time. There are a lot more details to that story. I don't want to keep going on. There are also a lot of other things that happened in that house, but that affected me more than anything. So, I hope you have some good insight on this, and thank you.
I think it was aiming its paranormal whatever just at her, and that's why the parents couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why it was targeting her.
It all seemed to happen when the sister moved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, was like the sister keeping this thing at bay, like consciously or non-consciously? Is the thing trying to seek out the sister some way? And because it's all seemed to keep going, but then when asked to stop, it somewhat stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessary. I mean, you think sometimes that'd be the first thing you would say, but that's not exactly, you know, what goes through a lot of people's minds, you know, when you're having something like this go on. I think there's something with the sister involved here.
Whether the sister knows it or not.
Yeah, it may have had some sort of affinity for the sister, was trying to get a message to the sister. You know, maybe just liked the sister, you know, and was upset at her leaving, had no real way to really clearly communicate, I want to talk to the sister or see the sister again, and it just kept doing these same things over and over, and that's what was coming across.
Sure.
You know, I wonder sometimes when things like that are trying to communicate, and on this side with what you hear or experience, it comes out just as like some sort of weird annoyance or weird sound or image or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what the hell is that?
Sure.
Or what is that noise? And it's, I almost sometimes wonder if it's kind of like a very small child trying to communicate to an adult
mm-hmm.
who can't really speak very well yet, where in their mind, they know exactly what they're saying. They believe they're coming across completely clear,
mm-hmm.
and it's the adult that doesn't get what's going on. I think there's almost sometimes that barrier between the ghost and the living, where in their mind or what have you, what they're trying to communicate is coming across loud and clear. They're saying as clear as they possibly can in their own way, but it's getting garbled in between, and then you get this mixed message or no message or just something.
Sure.
And you don't know what the hell it is.
And there's frustration on both sides.
Exactly. And then you also then get weird assumptions on one side as to what the intent is of whatever this thing is.
Sure.
So I wonder if that's something to do in that story.
I could see that.
So, interesting one. Thank you for calling in and sharing that that experience with us. I do have to say a very special RIP. I was just reading as we were listening to that story about a trending story. And we're recording this about a week or so in advance of it hitting. So it's already old news by the time, but it's not big news, so you probably never even noticed it. RIP, Yahoo Messenger.
Oh.
It has officially...
Okay.
It's no longer in existence. Not that anyone ever used this thing mm-hmm. since 1998, but they've officially pulled the plug on it as of August 5th, I guess.
Oh.
And the only people who noticed was the oil industry, because I guess a lot of oil traders still use that as their go-to app. It's like the only thing was still, only company or only industry that still actually used Yahoo Messenger. Other than some, you know, some random people, sure, mm-hmm. I'm sure did. But it wasn't obviously used the way it was in the 90s. That was my, in the 90s, go-to instant messenger application of choice.
Okay.
On a computer. Did you ever do instant messaging with friends or anything?
I didn't, no.
You had computers and everything.
Yeah, I did, but...
Even more than me.
I didn't have friends. That's the problem.
That's true. My friends, who did I talk to on there? Gosh. It was mainly coworkers.
Yeah.
It was my friend Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember there was a lot of times he'd go home and I was working at the radio station and then I'd be chatting with him at work. But that would be like the thing I would use.
Mm-hmm.
It was that. And then eventually I think I did start to use the, what was it? What was the Hotmail version of it? Was it Microsoft Chat or MSN Chat or?
I don't know.
They had a thing very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like people were using both. And there was another one that came out that ICQ or IQ. I don't remember. But there was like at one point in time, like a war of the messengers. Like, which one are you using?
Uh-huh.
And what's your username on that? And people, you know, that's how a lot of it was before texting. It was a precursor to texting
mm-hmm.
for the most part. And also that's where I think emojis were also born. You know, kids, you know, they use them like crazy now. Sometimes our older one will send me a text and I have to like try and decipher what the heck she's saying because half of it's an emoji
okay.
language. But emojis started back there.
Really?
On like Yahoo Messenger.
See, I thought that was all about people using like the number 3 and dashes and stuff to come up with their own designs.
That is, it kind of initially was that.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually they caught, oh, people are kind of making their own little designs, so let's coordinate that with a picture.
Okay.
And then the only way to get them to pop up was to know the code to make the design. And then they went, okay, people aren't going to want to keep doing this. Not everyone's a coder.
No.
And then it was just click on the icon. And then emojis came up.
I just remember using Wingdings.
Wingding. Yeah, I think Wingdings is probably the original.
Mm-hmm.
Original. But then as far as like regular communication, there you go. So there you go. RIP Yahoo Messenger. It would have been probably about 20 years ago now.
Wow.
That I would have been using it.
I couldn't care less.
I just thought I'd
okay.
just throw it out there. RIP. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to Sarah. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Sarah calling from the Ottawa Valley. So I'm sharing my first ever sort of personal haunting experience. It happened back when I was about 16, 17 years old. I'm from a small town, and one of our pastimes for a little while was ghost hunting, which is probably a generous term because we weren't very sophisticated. We just sort of broke into abandoned properties and allegedly haunted locations. But nonetheless, it was something that we did, and it was fun. So this particular story takes place on my friend Jesse's family's property. They're sixth-generation farmers, and they, you know, over the generations, they've accumulated a lot of land, and so they technically own three homes, but they only live in the one, and the other two are just abandoned homes from properties that they've purchased over the years. So this one house we always kind of return to because something always seemed to happen when we were there. A lot of things could be explained away very easily, but every time someone went, something always happened that creeped people out. So one night we were driving around town. It was summer, we were out of school, we were bored, and decided that we were going to go check out the house. So it was myself, Jesse, my friend Kevin, and my friend Brianna. So we drive up to the farmhouse, which is in the middle of nowhere. There's not even a driveway to get to the house. We have to ride the shoulder of the cornfield to get up to the house. It's just, you can't see it from the road. It's in the middle of nowhere. And so we pull up to the house and we get out of the truck and we walk up to the screened-in porch, which is where we enter into the house through the kitchen. So the breaker box is there, so Jesse flicks on the breaker box, and it illuminates the kitchen and the upstairs hall. The rest of the rooms have, you know, dead wiring or whatever. Just the two spaces light up. So we're about to enter the kitchen through the door, which is actually, it's an exterior door frame, but his parents have put like a cheap interior door on the frame. It doesn't lock or anything. It's just basically to keep rodents out. And because it doesn't, it's an interior door, it doesn't fit the frame quite perfectly. There's quite a bit of maybe half an inch to an inch space between the door frame and the actual door. So when the kitchen's lit like that, you can, if you just sort of peer through the crack, you can see a lot of the kitchen in detail. So Jesse goes to try to open up this door, and it's stuck, which is weird. Like I said, it doesn't lock. And he's trying, and then I give it a try, and Kevin gives it a try, and it just won't open. And it kind of feels like, you know, when you drop a towel behind your bedroom door and you're trying to open up the door, and the pressure is kind of, it's allowing the top of the door to sort of move, but you can feel it sort of caught on the bottom. That's what it felt like. It felt like something was sort of caught on the bottom. But again, there's this space, so we could see that we could not see what it was caught on, and it wasn't really caught on anything in the frame or anything. So after a minute or so of trying, Jesse makes some sort of joke about getting the chainsaw to tear down the door. And then he just tries the door one more time, and it opens up with perfect ease, no problem. So Brianna, who's not a fan of ghost hunting, but she's our friend, so she always got dragged into it, was kind of freaking out at this point because she was like, oh my god, the spirits don't want us here, you know. Anyway, so we walk into the kitchen and we look around for a minute, but we pretty much immediately go upstairs because there's a room, a bedroom, just above the kitchen upstairs, where all of the sort of creepy stuff always seems to happen. So naturally, that's where we gravitate to. So we go upstairs, and there's just an itty-bitty little hallway upstairs beside that leads into this bedroom. And so Jesse, in all his nerve, walks right into the bedroom, no problem. And he's standing in the middle of the room, and he's got his hands on his hips, and he's got his back to us, and he's looking up at the walls, and he's making jokes about how there's blood on the walls, and trying to scare us a little bit. And So Kevin is standing in front of me, and I'm standing behind Kevin, and Brianna is standing behind me, and we're looking into the room, and we can see him pretty clearly because the hall's illuminated, and we can see him, and we can see most of the rooms illuminated from the hall light. And the door going into the bedroom was open probably about 60, 70 degrees. It was almost completely open, but not 100% open. So, anyway, so like I said, Jesse's got his back to us, and he sort of, you know, edges us on to come into the room and join him in the creepy room. So Kevin takes a step forward to cross the threshold of the door, and he puts his hand just on the panel of the door to sort of push it, you know, the rest of the way open to sort of scan the rest of the room as he walks in, you know, as you would do when you're a little bit nervous. And just as he puts his hand on the door to push it the rest of the way open, the door flies the rest of the way open, smacks against the wall, and comes back so violently and so quickly and so powerfully, it smokes Kevin to the point where he stumbles and kind of falls onto me, to which I sort of stumble back and knock Brianna, to which she falls on the ground. Like, that's how sort of powerful it was. And as it slams him, it sort of draws back to kind of come at us again. So it draws back and it slams again. And it pulls back and slams and pulls back and slams, slam, slam. And so my initial reaction was, oh my God, it wants Jesse alone. So I sort of, you know, grab Kevin sort of from the back and start pushing him back up, and he catches his footing and he starts, puts his shoulder into the door and grabs the doorknob and starts pushing back, and I'm pushing on him, and we're trying to sort of put pressure on keeping this door open, and it's so strong, it's like we're losing this battle to keep this door open, and it keeps coming slam, 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 and it's just inches from closing completely. When on the flip side, Jesse, who's standing in this room and he's got his back to this whole situation, he sees sort of the light escaping from the room because the door's closing. So he turns around to kind of cuss us out, thinking that we're just being jerks and we're trying to lock him in a scary room. And he sees this whole battle happening. So when he sees this, he runs over, grabs the door from the other side, rips it open, and everything stops. He rips open the door and he comes out, and he's nervous. He laughs when he's scared, so he kind of comes out just giggle, 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 giggle. And the three of us kind of, you know, pause like, what just happened? And why is he laughing? And he's laughing, and he kind of comes out and he basically leaps over the banister of the stairs and just hightails it downstairs. So Brianna's right after him. I'm after her. Kevin's after me. And we jump back into the truck and just sort of all respectively start to freak out over what happened. But yeah, that's my story. It's, again, I don't know how else to emphasize how strong this slamming door was. And again, it didn't just, you know, slam at us once. There was a battle, per se, going on to keep this door open and separate the group, basically. So, yeah, that's that. Hope you enjoyed my story, and have a great day.
I think it's safe to say that something wanted them to go away, and I wonder if they ever went back after that.
You think something like that is going to always be dark, or do you think that that could just be an angry person that's like, just get out, this is not your home? And
I honestly wondered if it was trying to scare them so that maybe they would avoid something that could be potentially dangerous.
I could see that. And it's a perception thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, I mean, it's like a child, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes, you know more than the child does. And sometimes the only way to get them to stop from putting their hand on the hot stove and you're on the other side of the room is to literally scream.
And scare them.
And scare, yeah, just so they stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to do it. And I could see that kind of being the case in this perspective too,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, okay, these are people, they're ghost hunting, or, you know, here they come again.
Sure.
Or another group of them come again. And, you know, this is not safe for them to be in here, but the only way they're going to find it out is when, you know, Billy falls through the floor,
mm-hmm.
Onto the pack of nails or whatever the heck is down there. So I have to be violent with them. I have to literally scare the crap out of them to get them to go away.
Yeah.
And just going boo or banging something, that's going to draw them in. I have to be more violent than that. Not to hurt them, but enough to scare them.
So they don't come back.
Exactly. So I could see that being the case, mm-hmm. and not necessarily just something evil,
right?
If you will. You could have that. It could be down that road. I don't know. But I kind of get, with a case like that, sometimes when nothing more really happened, nothing lingered, nothing followed,
mm-hmm.
it probably is just something along those lines.
Yeah.
So thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share yours with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I absolutely love your podcast. It's like one of my favorites, and I love you too. You're just gorgeous. Just, I'm in love with your love, and your little girls are absolutely beautiful. Harper actually reminds me of my younger sister, who loves anything spooky, just like me. So yeah, we get along really well in that sort of aspect. It's actually a shame, because we love Halloween and anything like the Halloween aesthetic, but because Australia, we don't really acknowledge Halloween as much as I feel like we should. We sort of miss out on that time of year, but yeah, we're known as the crazy Halloween house because we decorate the place. Anyway, off track. I actually yesterday had what I would say is my first sort of encounter with something. And I thought I'd tell you guys straight away because, yeah, I love you guys so much. But what happened is, where I work, it's actually an old convent. I work more in the new building that was built sort of onto it, but sometimes we do training and have meetings up in the convent, up in one of the levels. And after work yesterday, I had to go up there to go and attend a meeting. And I come around the back way from where I was, so not many people come through that way, and I was walking into the back entrance of the convent where there's a staircase to go up to the room where I wanted to go. And I've heard a lot of stories of this place. It's, I think, 100 or just over 100 years old. And a couple of people have told me they've seen visions. I've had a cleaner tell me she was pushed on the stairs. But I don't think she was pushed down the stairs. I just think she was nudged, I believe. But I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. She has no reason to lie to me about it, but anyway. When I walked in, I thought to myself, you know what would be a good idea? Why don't I ask something to show itself in a roundabout kind of way, which isn't normal for me. Normally, I want nothing to do with actually talking or contacting anything from the other world, from another world, whatever you want to call it, ghost, spirit, anything. I love the paranormal and the supernatural, but I really am terrified at any sort of contact with it because, yeah, it's just that shit will F you up, you know? Anyway, so I'm at the bottom of the stairs and I say, you know, come on, if you're here, show yourself roundabout. And not trying to provoke it or anything, just wanting to see if I'll get a response. Anyway, I was walking up the stairs and I swear to God, I heard behind me another set of footsteps up the stairs. For a moment, I thought it was the creaking echo of my footsteps, but, there was actual footfalls. Like, it sounded like there was another set of feet on the floor behind me, like they were walking. And, like, I was too scared to stop and see if it kept going because it sounded like they were right behind me. And yeah, I didn't want to stop. So I kept walking and I pretty much ran up the rest of the stairs when I sort of come to my senses and went, oh my God, that's probably a ghost. So anyway, I ran up the stairs and when I got into the training, the person who was conducting the training meeting thing looked at me sort of like, are you okay? And I told her what had happened, and she sort of looked at me like I was a bit crazy. So I said, oh, it might have just been an echo, you know, of my feet, because it's an old staircase. But I swear, it sounded like feet. Honest to God, feet behind me. It was spooky, to say the least. Anyway, thank you so much for this show you do. It's so just interesting, the amount of stuff that I've learned about this, about the world around us and what's in it aside from us. It's amazing. I love it. And all the people that you've had on there that sort of look at the scientific sort of approach to it, or although like they've actually studied it in length, it's amazing to hear this stuff from their mouths, you know, and you just seem to ask the right questions and the most interesting questions. So thank you so much, guys. You're just the bomb.
I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get a diggity, a bomb diggity, but I'll take bomb.
Okay.
Just being honest.
I think sometimes it really sucks when you get what you ask for.
Like a diggity?
No, like when you know, want something to show itself and mm-hmm. then it scares the shit out of you. It's like, oh, why did I do that? And then I wanted to know if she's had any more experiences, because now that she's kind of let on that she knows it's there mm-hmm. and it knows that she knows, is it an ongoing thing, or was it just like, I'll show myself this one time, or I'll make my presence known this one time?
It would be good to know.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine that kind of being an ongoing thing, because sometimes that's how it is. Once it's triggered, it's like, okay, this works now.
I think it's probably too soon to know. Didn't she say that happened like just mm-hmm. in the last couple of days?
Yeah. So please do keep us abreast of what occurs
mm-hmm.
or lack thereof.
Yeah.
In the coming weeks and months. Thank you for that. Let's go to Damien in New Zealand. Hi.
Hey, Bruce Gies. I'm Damien. I'm from New Zealand. I've been listening to your show for about 6 months and really enjoy it, listen to it. I'm an art student, so I always listen to it while I'm doing art and stuff like that. Good thing to keep me occupied. Yeah, I've been meaning to send in story or two of mine for a while. I just haven't been able to because I've been busy with work and stuff. But figured I'd take some time between assignments and stuff to record one and send it in. So this is, I'm always have been a very, very sensitive person to everything with supernatural, other people's emotions and stuff like that. And I'm a Wiccan, but that's kind of more a recent development, I guess. I've just kind of been drawn towards that sort of thing. But along with that sort of stuff, I do sort of crystal healing and just, yeah, anyway, that's just kind of to preface everything. But recent thing that happened was that when I was on my way driving out to art school, one morning to where I study, it's about sort of a half an hour drive over a motorway sort of through country-ish, it is kind of farmlandy rural area, but it's a road that a lot of big trucks go through, and it's 100 kilometers an hour. I'm not sure what that is in miles, but it's fast, like full speed motorway. I was driving sort of on autopilot, because I drive it every day, and there was a car in front of me that stopped really suddenly, and I ended up swerving into the oncoming traffic to avoid hitting it. And coming towards me, there was a truck, like a big logging truck, and I felt the crash, and I felt the collision, and I felt my ribs get crushed, and I felt my legs get crushed, and I felt myself get cut from the glass of the windscreen, and everything went black. And I then felt this pulling sensation, like at the back, lower back of my spine, and then I fully thought that I had died or was in a coma or something. And then I opened my eyes, and it was about 30 seconds before the crash had happened, and I was like, what the fuck? Sorry for swearing, but I was, what the hell? And I, the car in front of me braked, but I knew it was going to happen, so I had enough time to stop. And instead of swerving, I managed to stop. And then the logging truck went past in the opposite lane. And that scared the hell out of me, because I fully thought that I had just died and then was reliving what had happened and what could have happened had I been aware. But then I drove down the road a bit, pulled over, and was freaked out and called my mate. And he was like, no, don't worry, Damien, you're alive. But yeah, and then I ended up driving the rest of the way to art school, and the rest of the day was just kind of normal, and nothing, like, nothing to do with that scenario has happened since. So I don't know whether that was a something looking out for me, or something in another car looking out for the person there, or me getting a second chance, or a glitch in reality, or whatever you want to call it. But even a near-death experience, I don't know quite what to make of it, but it's something that's just kind of been on my mind since it's happened, and I don't know, I thought you guys might be able to shed some light on it. Unfortunately, because I'm on a student budget, I'm not an EPP yet, but I hope to be if/when I get more money. I'll probably call back soon and share another story, because I've got plenty to tell. Thanks.
I think if you're going to have a time for to have that, like, 5-minute backup,
mm-hmm.
that's when to have it. The other time that I remember a story like that, it was they were making a sandwich,
yeah,
and time went backwards, and then they went back into the kitchen, and everything they had gotten out, it was gone. It was all put back in the fridge. The tomato they were slicing was back to being a whole tomato.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't like somebody just ate it and cleaned up. It was like redo.
Could they smell the food in that case? I'm trying to remember that, because there's something odd about that, where it's like we went back in the kitchen and everything was back, but we could like still smell the burgers as if we had cooked them, but the meat was uncooked. And wasn't there something like that to that?
It was that or bacon. I don't know.
It was
remember.
Something. Yeah, some element had gone back to its previous state. All the mm-hmm. elements were back to their previous state, but there was like a sign
mm-hmm.
that they weren't crazy, because it was like the smell of the burgers were there, which you wouldn't have unless you cooked the burger.
No.
And I don't know what the hell to make of that.
There was like no reason for it, but this, yeah. there was definitely
sure.
reason for it.
You know, I think sometimes the universe corrects itself, and I don't know, you know, in a lot of cases it just does it, I think, somewhat naturally, and you don't really ever realize it. It'll just fix it and doesn't require paranormal intervention.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes it requires paranormal intervention, and maybe yeah. sometimes it just hits the reset button, and that's what happens. So when she was listing off, you know, could it be this, could it be that, could it be all these different mm-hmm. things? Probably a couple of the above.
Yeah.
And that's just what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So no explanation, but that'd be very interesting.
Yeah.
It's like deja vu to an extreme.
Sure, sure.
Oh, thank you for that that story. Let's go to Ashley in Illinois. Ashley, hi, you're on the show.
Hey guys, this is Ashley from Illinois, and I'm recording this to tell you guys something that happened last night. I would have told you immediately when it happened, but I was with a friend and I didn't want her to think I was too crazy, I guess. So I went over to my friend's house. We've been friends for about 10 years, and we both got a little drunk and decided to play with the Ouija board, which we haven't done in like 7 years. It's been a long time. So obviously our judgment was impaired and we made a really poor decision, and she made this homemade board and we started playing, and we got like really unintelligent answers, and so we just thought it wasn't working. But then one of the spirits was just like, it kept saying the letter C over and over again, and then the room got really cold, and so my friend decided to end the session, and she cleansed the board, and like we went to bed, and she burned some sage and whatnot. And so we're laying in bed, and she turns off her light, and she goes good night to me, and then I hear this voice like whisper night night, and I was just like, it sounded like her. So I was like, did you just say that? And she was just like, what? Because she had been on her phone messing around and not paying attention to me. So she gets up and turns on the light. And she does another cleanse of the room. And then she goes back to bed. And I'm laying there and I'm having trouble sleeping because I keep feeling weirded out. And I roll over on my side. And then I just feel this pressure on the bed behind me. But there was no one there, so I could have just been imagining it, I think. Anyway, I just thought it was creepy. A little weird. I thought I'd let you guys know that happened as, like, a warning for any other listeners. You know, when they say not to use a Ouija board, they're not kidding. Because it's kind of creepy. Luckily, my friend knows how to, like, cleanse these things. But imagine if I had been with someone who didn't really know what they were doing in that regard, and we just, like, had a spirit, like, talk to us, like, in, like, audible, like, in real life, not on the board, and that could have gone poorly, depending on who it was. So, but yeah, I'm an EPP, as I think I've said before when I've sent stuff in. And I really love the show, so keep it up, guys. Thanks.
That's interesting. The point that's kind of made is like, well, you know, it's a good thing my friend knows how to cleanse these things, so it wasn't so bad. But the thing is, even though that she did know how to kind of keep this thing under, I guess, more wraps than it could have been, still didn't prevent it.
No. I mean, to me, that's like, oh, so I was hanging out with my exterminator friend because he knows how to get rid of spiders. We just brought a bunch in the house for fun.
It's kind of like that. It's like, yeah, we went down to the what's the spider? Is that the terrarium? Terrarium? I can't.
Tarantula?
No, not tarantula. There's like a term for like a place where you
terrarium?
Can. Terrarium? Terrarium.
Is that it?
Yeah, okay. Terrarium. And we got all these spiders and brought them here and we just let them go for fun. Look at there. Over there. Yeah. He'll get rid of them, hopefully. You
know. Hopefully he gets all of them.
Hopefully. He knows how to do, you know. It's that sort of thing. That's a very good example. Where no matter how well you use it as directed or you think you're using it as directed, sure, you probably, if you're going to look at that likelihood of controlling it a bit, sure. But the thing is, it's still a crapshoot and you never know exactly what you're going to get in some of those things. No matter how experienced you are at controlling it, you just aren't going to have the control.
No.
So thank you for that story and that experience. We do appreciate that. It's funny, as we were reading that, I saw someone posted on our Facebook page, and it wasn't their photo, but it was something that someone had taken a picture of someone who had cut a hole in their wall, and they were, you know, probably doing stuff like we're doing around here, and it wasn't drywall they found back there, but there was a Ouija board sitting in the wall.
Ew.
Could you imagine that one?
No.
We found that. That'd be a great horrible joke to play on you.
Okay, you always do to me a would you rather on the show.
Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, would you rather do remodel and find a Ouija board in the wall, or would you rather, like that show we watched the other day, do a remodel and find a nest of snake eggs in the wall?
Probably the Ouija board.
You'd rather the Ouija board?
I'd rather the Ouija board, yeah.
See, I'd rather the snake eggs because you can kill snakes.
Yeah, but you know that's really something I would never get over.
No,
I would forever be afraid that I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and I'm going to find a snake or in a place or a time where I can't see something. I'm going to be snake paranoid.
And I'm sorry to our snake loving friends out there. I'm not one. And if I see a snake and I know it's in my house, it's mm-hmm. not going to live very long.
Well, it's one thing if you have a pet snake. And yeah. I'm not a snake person either. But if it's a pet snake, it's in a cage. Okay, great. Then you're safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who have pet snakes don't let them just randomly wander around the house either.
No.
You know, so I mean, that's the difference.
At least most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, I get creeped out when I'm outside and I see something like slither up the side of the siding of the house.
Ooh, it's a lizard.
Yeah, I mean, lizards I'm okay with for the most part around here because they're not like poisonous, they're just lizards. But every once, you know, I haven't seen it here, but I have in other places. In fact, our last house I saw.
I know, and then you like sealed it into the house. Remember you went and plugged the whole crack along there.
I did, I used that foam stuff.
And that wasn't good.
But it prevented more of them from sliding up in there.
You don't know that.
I hope I did.
Ugh.
So there you go. And there was, gosh, there was some video I saw. I don't know where I saw it, if it was YouTube or on one of some TV show or something. But it was a home where they were working on residing it. And as they pulled the siding off the side of the house, and it was probably like in New Mexico or something, it was just infested with snakes up the whole side of the house. Just like a plague.
Ugh.
Not something you want to see.
No.
Ever, because it will never leave your mind.
You can't unsee that.
You can't unsee that. So just creepy as hell. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. Be sure to become an EPP if you're not one yet. That's what helps keep this show on the air. Get all the bonus episodes of the show. All 100 some of them. A new one every single week. Exclusive video content. So many nice extras there. And our best stories are all there in the EPP section. Ghostpodcast.com. is where you do that. Ghostpodcast.com. Click become an EPP. It's only $5. Check it out and help us stay on the air at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Happy snake dreamin'.